We're glad you are here today, and welcome to Grace Point Church for our time of worship. In the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk said this in chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord replied, "Look and be amazed. You will be astounded at what I am about to do. For I am going to do something in your own lifetime that you will have to see to believe." That is my hope and prayer for Grace Point Church, that we will see the hand of God at work in such a way that we won't even believe what He's doing. Would you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for this day, for giving us the opportunity to come here and worship you together, collectively, as your children. We give ourselves to you now. We ask you, Father, to pour out your Spirit among us and on us, collectively as a church and individually as well. Speak to us. But most of all, Lord, this is a time, this is a day when we worship you. So may everything that we say and everything that we do, every song that we sing, every word that we hear, be one in which we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Aren't you grateful for these folks up here who lead us every week? So grateful. Back in World War II, there was a saying that developed, and you know it, I'm sure you do. Matter of fact, I want you to say the last two words for me. It says, "Loose lips sink ships." Loose lips can be the cause of losing a military battle. Loose lips hurt others. Loose lips can destroy lives. So I want to share a message with you this morning entitled "Managing Your Mouth." So if you have your outlines, take them out right now, if you will, and you can fill in some blanks as we go along. Now, in Leviticus 19:16, I want to share with you what it says in about five or six different translations. In Leviticus 19:16, the Contemporary English Version says, "Don't be a gossip." The Amplified Version says, "You shall not go around as a gossip among your people." The Amplified Classic Version says, "You shall not go up and down as a dispenser of gossip." I like that. How many of y'all remember Pez dispensers, right? And you just hit the little head and out comes the candy. Hit it again and out comes the candy. And it's saying here, don't be a dispenser of gossip. Mostly because by the time you hear a version of whatever the gossip is, it's inaccurate. It's of something somebody else has heard from somebody else who had secondhand information from somebody else from a different source. Don't be a gossip dispenser. God's Word says, never gossip. The Living Bible says, don't gossip. The Message translation says, don't spread gossip and rumors. And the New Living Translation says, do not spread slanderous gossip. Can you see the theme running through there? Now, I probably could just stop right here and do an invitation, and we would have had enough of God's Word on this topic. What is gossip? Let me give you a definition of what gossip is. Gossip is talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the solution nor part of the problem. You talk to somebody who's not part of the solution or part of the problem, that's gossip. Gossip is hearing something you like about someone who you don't like. That's gossip. And some people gossip and spread rumors under the guise of spirituality. You probably have heard this. Well, let me tell you about so-and-so so we can pray about it. Seriously, give me a break. I've heard people use prayers to gossip. Oh, Lord, be with Lori in her inappropriate relationship with George, while a whole circle of people there are praying. And some people gossip and they spread rumors under the guise of this is best for everyone when it's really not. In Ephesians 4:29, look at this verse. Do not let any negative talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Not your need to hear something, but according to their needs. There should be no negative talk, none. When you talk, you don't have to build yourself up, you're to build others up. And if what you say doesn't build someone else up, listen, don't say it. It doesn't have to be communicated. Keep it to yourself. The world will get along just fine if you don't say everything that you're thinking at any given time. Now, let me say this. When I preach and say you, it's me too. I am not guarded from some spiritual force against the temptation to gossip. I'm human. Because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm perfect. Some of you think I am. But I'm not. You know who you can ask about that, right? Libby. She knows I'm not perfect. Thankfully, she loves me anyhow. Look at James 1:26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. James says, if you attend every church service of the church, if you give above a tithe to support the church, if you attend every Bible study of the church, if you memorize 10 verses from every book of the Bible, but you're a gossip, he says, your religion, everything you've done is worthless. It means nothing. If I spread rumors, it's worthless. If I speak inaccurately or exaggerate what I say, if I speak impulsively, it's worthless. Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents I think this country has ever had, Abraham Lincoln's coffin was pried open 2 times. In 1887, rumors swept the country that his coffin was empty, so they got the coffin out, they pried it open to make sure he was in there. And guess what? He was. Closed the coffin, put him back in the ground. Several years later, the same rumor began to circulate, and they brought his casket up again, pried it open again, all because of a rumor. In Proverbs 11:13, look what it says. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Can you keep a secret? When you hear something, somebody tells you a secret, do you just start burning, get a little anxious, you got to do something with that secret? Or do you just keep it right where it needs to be, in your mind and in your heart? Folks, if you want to be a good friend, you absolutely will not ever share confidential information that's been entrusted to you with anyone else. You will keep a secret what should be kept secret. The quickest way to kill a friendship, folks, is to gossip. Are you that kind of person that can keep people's confidences so they can trust you? Fact is, we think gossip is a little sin, like a misdemeanor sin, not a felony. But when God talks about gossip, he puts it on the list with other things like sexual immorality and murder. Gossip is right there with that. Why? Because it is so destructive to relationships. Gossip can tear a friendship apart. It can tear a family apart. It can tear a church family apart. More churches have been destroyed because of gossip than persecution. More friendships have been destroyed by gossip than any other kind of disloyalty. I like the story about gossip, about a man who went to the rabbi and confessed the sin of gossip that he had and that he was practicing. But he came to the rabbi and he said, "What penance can I do? What can I do to make up for this sin?" And the rabbi said, "Here's what I want you to do. Take a feather pillow on a windy day, walk up to the mountain, on top of the mountain, rip it open, let the feathers fly wherever they go. Just let them go." And the man did it, and he came back to the rabbi. And the rabbi said, the man said, "Rabbi, I've done exactly what you want me to do. Is that it?" He said, "No." The rabbi said, "Now I want you to go pick up every feather." That's what happens with gossip. You can't go back. You can't pick up every feather. It's impossible. It does the damage, and the damage is done. Sometimes we never realize the impact gossip has as it rips apart a relationship. So we need to make sure we're not gossiping. We stop gossiping. We quit gossiping. Handle hurts and problems biblically. Go to the person who is directly involved. If anyone tries to gossip with you about it, just stop them and say, "Hey, are you involved in this? Are you directly involved in this situation? Have you talked and prayed with this person you're now talking about?" If they say no, say, "You need to go and do that." Matter of fact, grab them by the hand. Lead them down to where that person is and say, "This person needs to talk with you." Most times, by the time you get close, they're gone. But that's what you need to do. Go talk to the person who's directly involved. And if you're not directly involved, shut up. I know that's hard for me to say from the pulpit. I tell myself the same thing. "Kevin, if this has nothing to do with anything else, just shut your brain down. Shut your mouth up. Don't have to do it." In James 3, verses 5 and 6, look what it says. "The tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A great forest can be set on fire by one tiny spark. The tongue can turn our whole lives into the blazing flame of destruction and disaster." Many times in the Bible, our tongue is compared to a fire. And he's saying that like a carelessly tossed match can destroy a beautiful green forest, a carelessly tossed word can destroy what was a good relationship. In Australia, back in 1983, one person tossed a match out of a car window that burned 600 square miles of Australia, charring cities, villages. One person, one match, did all of that damage and destruction. In the same way, folks, one careless word, one thoughtless word can have a devastating effect on people around us if we don't watch what we say. Have you ever met a verbal arsonist? They are incendiary in their words. They love to accuse and share gossip. Have you ever noticed how gossip spreads as quickly as wildfire? It can destroy lives. And it wreaks havoc in its wake. James says, control our tongue, our words. Now, folks, fire under control has warmth and light, and it's good for us. But fire out of control can devastate us. Words out of control can devastate your life and the relationship with people that you have. Words out of control can literally tear families apart. I've seen teens in high school be emotionally crushed because of gossip. I've seen students drop out of college because of gossip. I've seen church members leave the church because of gossip. There is nothing good that comes from gossip, only pain and destruction. I've often wondered how many people have destroyed careers with their mouth. How many people have destroyed family or children with their mouth? How many people have destroyed a friendship, a business deal with their mouth? When we talk about self-control in relationships, we have to talk about gossip. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, look what it says. Self-control means controlling the tongue. If you don't know how to manage your mouth, you don't know how to manage your life. So let's go over three keys of managing our mouths. Number one, think before you speak. Think before you speak. Proverbs 16:23, intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive. Think first. Don't assume anything. Think before you speak. Get it clear in your mind before you say what your desires are to say. Proverbs 18:20. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Those, a closed mouth gathers no foot. People have died for saying the wrong thing. We'll have to live with the consequences of everything we say because words set off a chain reaction in people's lives. Kind of goes like this, or it can go like this. Dad comes home from work. He's a little frustrated. He's tired. So he yells at mom. Mom yells at the older brother. The older brother yells at the younger sister. The younger sister kicks the dog. The dog bites the cat. The cat scratches the baby, and the baby bites the head of the Barbie doll off. Wouldn't it be easier if dad just bit the head of the Barbie doll off and skip all the middle stuff? There's a chain reaction when we gossip, folks. And it's not good. It's not positive. It's not uplifting. What you say can make you happy or sad. It can make you healthy or unhealthy. It can make you wise or foolish. It can build people up or tear people down. It can get you hired. It can get you fired. We've got to learn to think before we talk, not react in some emotional way just to get our feelings off. That is never helpful. Almost always hurtful and problematic. Think before you speak. So let's do a little word here about think. Fill in these as we go through them. The T in think, truthful, is what I am about to say truthful? Do I know it for a fact, or am I just guessing? Did I hear it through the rumor mill, or do I actually know what's going on? Is what I'm getting ready to say truthful? Listen, if it's not, zip it. Don't say it. Is it truthful? The H in think, helpful. Is what I'm about to say going to be helpful to the person or people to whom I am speaking? Is it helpful for them? Is it helpful for me? If it's not going to help them, then what? Don't say it. Zip it. The I in think, inspirational. Is what I'm going to say inspirational? Is it going to encourage them? Is it going to lift them up? Is it going to give them some hope? If it's not, don't say it. The N, necessary. Is it necessary? Now, I struggle with this one a lot because I have a lot of things to say. I'm a preacher, right? I got a lot of stuff to say, and it's not always God's word stuff. I just got a lot of stuff to say. So I literally have to ask myself, I literally do this. Is what I'm about to say necessary? Is it necessary for that person? Is it necessary for that group? Is it necessary for that family member? And I have to wrestle. If it's not necessary, it may be good, it may be true. It may show some wise insight that I have. But if it's not necessary, I shut up. It tells me I shouldn't say it, at least not right now. Does that make sense? You may know all kinds of stuff you want to share, but if it's not necessary, don't. And remember, folks, there might be a day, the day after, the next day, you learn some more things and it does become necessary. But until that happens, keep it to yourself. And then the K, is it kind? Is what I'm going to share, can I share it in a kind way? Folks, you realize you can share really bad news in a kind manner. You don't have to jump all over somebody. You can just talk to them with kindness. Hey, man, I need to tell you this, and I'm sorry, because I know you're going through a hard time right now, and it hurts me. It hurts me what you're going through, and it hurts that I just feel it's necessary for me to share this with you. And you can be very kind about it. Anybody here have ever been told something in an unkind manner? Yeah. Be kind. Truthful, helpful, inspirational, necessary, kind. That's how you think. So think before you speak. Number two, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Proverbs 12:18. Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword. But wisely spoken words can heal. Every time you speak, you have an option either to build up or to tear down, to hurt or to heal, to encourage or discourage. You lift people up or you tear them down when you speak to them. You have an option. You have a choice every time you speak. And the Bible says, speak the truth in love. People think, well, I know what I'm speaking is truth. And then they just go in there like they're going to use that truth to tear someone apart. Speak the truth in love. If you can't speak it in love, don't say it. At least not at that time until your heart and mind changes. Proverbs 24:26. An honest answer is the sign of a true friendship. Dishonesty is a lack of love. But if I'm honest with you, it means one thing. I want to tell you the truth. The loving thing to do is to be honest. Dishonesty is a lack of love, and gossip is always some form of dishonesty. An honest answer is the sign of true friendship. Look at Proverbs 28:23. In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. If you don't deal with that area, you're not being honest in a relationship, and it will deal with you someday. Because by not being honest with somebody, you're postponing the inevitable crisis. The longer you put off a problem discussing it in a relationship, the worse it gets, it festers. And then, like a boil, it has to be lanced. And that's very painful. If you're not being honest in a relationship, what you're doing is you're sabotaging that relationship. And inevitably, there's going to be a crisis when you're going to have to say, okay, let's just put the cards on the table. Let's talk about this. It's hard for me. It's difficult. I don't want to. But we need to have this conversation. You do it kindly. You do it in love. You do it at the right timing. And then you talk with them truthfully. Folks, the fact is there's no intimacy without truth. The problem is that truth comes out of conflict, and conflict is a tunnel to intimacy, if you'll allow it to be. When you're going through that tunnel, it's no fun. It's dark. It's scary. It's not a whole lot of fun. When you're in the middle of every bone in your body and you're having this tough conversation and it says, I just want to stop. I don't want to talk anymore because it's hard. It may even hurt. But if you speak honestly, in love, kindly, with truth, sometimes it just needs to be done. Now, there's a difference between having hard and honest conversations, and as some people just say, well, I'm just frank, so I just blah. No, that's not the way I'm talking about speaking to someone else. Not a bit. You can be frank without being tactless. You can speak the truth and speak it in love. You just don't run people over with truth. You don't use truth as a club to beat them up. Proverbs 12:18, look what it says. Some people like to make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise soothe and heal. Folks, we're never persuasive when we are abrasive. Speak the truth. Think before you speak. Speak the truth. How? In love. Some say, I just tell it like it is, and they're proud of it. I just tell it like it is. I discovered those who say, I just tell it like it is, rarely do. They tell it from their perspective. They tell it to get across the points they want to get across. Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words cause life and health. Your words can cause life. Your words can cause health. That's the power of gentle words. The pastor, a few years ago, went to a hospital room where there was a man from his church who'd been in a coma for several months with no motion, no indication that he was getting better whatsoever. The man's wife was there, and the doctor walked in while the pastor was there, and the doctor told the mother, in the presence of the man who's in the coma, you just need to be prepared because he's probably not going to make it out of this. And he walked out of the room. And the pastor couldn't believe what he just heard. So he walked over to the man in the coma, got down in his face, and he said, John, I know you heard that doctor, and I know you heard what he said, but he's wrong. And you're going to make it. And you're going to come out of this coma. And when he said that, tears just came and went down the sides of his face. And that man not only came out of the coma, but he's active in his church today. And he said the turning point was when the pastor said, you're going to make it. Folks, you have no idea the power of your words to either hurt or to heal. To your kids, to your spouse, to your friends, your coworkers, there is tremendous power in kind, encouraging words. They are often the turning point in a person's life, so speak the truth in love. Ask yourself, who can I encourage today? Look at this verse, Proverbs 12:25. A word of encouragement does wonders. Give more strokes of encouragement than pokes. Any fool can be negative. It takes no brains at all to be a critic. They never build statues to critics. They build statues to those who are criticized by critics. Anybody can be negative. It takes character to be positive in a negative world. It takes genuine character to speak the truth in love and be positive in whatever you might say. And last, number three, ask Christ for help every day. Ask Christ for help every day. Psalm 141:3. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I love this verse. God, give me a muzzle. Muzzle my mouth. Help me to watch and manage my words, to manage and master my mouth. The Living Bible is so clear and practical here. It says, help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut. It's about as clear as it needs to be. The reason we need to ask Christ for help every day, folks, listen, because we can't do this on our own. Remember, we're children of God. If you're a believer, you're a Christian, you're a child of God, that gives us a lot. But we are still imperfect. We can't fix our mouths and our minds behind our mouths and our hearts behind that. We can't do that all on our own. If you've ever tried, I know what your outcome was. You got it going for a little while, and then you failed. You tried again, and then we can't do this on our own. We need the love and the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, or it's never going to work. You know why we really can't do it on our own? Because our mouth isn't the real problem. God says the reason you're having trouble with your mouth is you're having problems with your heart. Out of the heart, a person speaks. The mouth simply reveals what's in our heart. It's the window to our soul. It's the displayer of our character. How and what I say shows what I'm really like on the inside. Jesus said this in Matthew 15:18. What comes out of the mouth comes from where? The heart. So we need to say, God, fix my heart. Sometimes we feel like we need a new heart transplant. Sometimes we need some tune-ups in different aspects of our heart. God, you fix my heart. Fortunately, God specializes in giving us new hearts. Glad about that. He specializes in giving us a new heart. Jesus Christ is the best heart transplant expert I've ever known. And he can do it for you. Sidlow Baxter said this, the proof that you have God's Spirit in your life is not that you speak in an unknown tongue, but that you know how to control the tongue that you do have. The only way we can control our tongue is by letting Jesus Christ control our heart in greater degrees on a daily basis. That's how we start over. Think before you speak. Speak the truth in love. Ask Christ for help every day. Now, this message isn't for the person you live with, your husband, your wife, your children, nor is it for your neighbor, nor for the person sitting next to you, nor a friend of yours, nor is it for your coworker, for your high school buddy, or for your small group member. Neither is it for the person you don't like. Neither is it for that church member. This message is not for them. This message is for you and me and Grace Point Church. Everything I've mentioned here, every principle, everything we've talked about here from Scripture doesn't just apply to our lives. It applies to the life of our church. So how do you need to respond? Maybe in general, you just need to say, God, start managing my mouth more. God, it starts in my heart, so start managing my heart better. God, it's a bad habit of mine, so God, it may take a while to get out of the habit, but God, help me to get out of that habit. Maybe you need to talk with someone about that habit. Maybe they can help you, be a prayer support for you. I would look back over the notes and ask yourself, what's one, just one takeaway I can get from this message, apply it to my heart, and start practicing that. And when you get that down, go back and find another one you can practice, and another one. And may God make us all to be good managers of our mouths. Okay? All right, let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for this message. It comes right from your word. Sometimes tough messages are hard to listen to, but sometimes we just need to hear the entirety of your word, not just certain parts of it. And God, I pray that everyone in this building this day would have that desire to say, God, work on my heart. I don't want to gossip in any way, shape, manner, or form. Turn me away from gossiping the way I do into someone who manages, God, our mouths. Do that for our church so we can forever go down the road that you lead us to go down, to carry out your work, to see the wonders of your work among us and through us to others. Now, Lord, bless our time of invitation. I pray, Father, that it will be a time, whether we stay in our seats or walk around somewhere, where we're just focusing on what you want us to do, what we've heard from you. Bless it to that end, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray right now for the school year starting. Lord, we lift up all the folks, millions and millions of folks, who'll be a part of school starting up again. And Lord, we know that today that your hand needs to be on those students and teachers, the parents, grandparents. Lead and guide them. Help them to grow closer to you, even in that school where you may not be taught or preached or prayed to. And we know right now, Lord, that you can still touch lives even there. Use those teachers. Use those students to reach one another. And these parents and grandparents, Lord, we lift them up to you now as well. And Lord, we pray it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.